بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come to the 42nd hadith, which is the last hadith of this blessed compilation, Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. And it is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. The author said, عن Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تعالى يا ابن آدم إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني إلا غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, Allah says, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, innaka ma da'utani wa rajawtani, that whenever you supplicate to me and you have hope in me, ghafartu laka ma ala ma kana minka, I will forgive your sins regardless of what you have. Wala ubali, and I do not mind. Yabna Adam, law balagat dhunubuka anan as-sama, O son of Adam, if your sins reached the clouds of the skies, thumma astaghfartani, and then you sought forgiveness from me, ghafartu laka, I will forgive you. Yabna Adam, إِنَّكَ لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا, O son of Adam, if you were to come to me with sins as much as the earth, or almost as much as the earth, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا, and then you met me without ascribing any partner, any form of shirk with me, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً, then I would come back to you with almost an earth full of forgiveness. He said, رَوَاهُ تِرْمَذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. So this hadith was narrated by the virtuous companion Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. And he is Anas ibn Malik ibn Nadir from Banu Najjar. And Banu Najjar, they were the inhabitants of Al-Madinah. So he is Ansari Khazraji. And his kunya is Abu Hamza. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave Anas radiallahu anhu this kunya. Anas radiallahu anhu was born 10 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Medina, Anas radiallahu anhu was only 10 years old. So he was from the younger companions. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Al-Madinah, the Ansar from Al-Madinah, they want to welcome their guest, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and receive him. So each one of them brought gifts and presents for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the mother of Anas, her name was Ummu Sulaym. The mother of Anas, her name was Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha. And she didn't have with her wealth, gifts and presents. But she had with her her young son Anas, who was 10 years old. So she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she said, Ya Nabi Allah, O Prophet of Allah, hada Anas. This is Anas. Ghulamun. And he is a young boy. Yakhdimuka. And he will serve you. If you want to accept him, he will serve you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepted this. And for this reason, Anas, he is known as Khadimu Rasulillah or Khadimun Nabi. And he would pride himself with this name. And Anas said, Qadima Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam al-Madinata wa ana ibn 10 sinin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered into al-Madinah and I was 10 years old. وَمَاتَ وَأَنَا ابْنُ عِشْرِينَ. And he passed away and I was 20 years old. Meaning when the Prophet came, Anas was 10 years old. And then Anas lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and served him for another 10 years. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, he was 20 years old. And because of 10 years of being with the Prophet and close to the Prophet, when he was resident, when he was traveling inside his house, outside his house, always serving him, Anas radiallahu anhu, he benefited a lot from the Prophet. And many of the ahadith which describe the manners and the adab and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many of them have been narrated by Anas because he saw all of this with his own eyes. So in the narration in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Anas radiallahu anhu said, خَدِمْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ 10 سِنِينَ. That I served the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for 10 years. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطْ. And in these 10 years, the Prophet never even said to me, أُف. And أُف is a phrase which the Arabs use when they want to rebuke somebody or scold somebody or show displeasure. So in 10 years of service, and Anas was a young boy, a 10-year-old boy, like any other 10-year-old boy, does things wrong, sometimes does things right, sometimes doesn't do things as they should be done. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never even said to him, uff. Never mind raise a hand or hit him, not even uff. And Anas said, وَمَا قَالَ لِي لِشَيْءٍ صَنَعْتُهُ لِمَا صَنَعْتَهُ. And he never said to me regarding something which I did, why did you do this? وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ تَرَكْتُهُ لِمَا تَرَكْتَهُ. And he never said to me regarding something which I didn't do, why did you not do it? وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was from the best people in his manners. He said, وَلَا مَسَسْتُ خَزًّا قَطْ وَلَا حَرِيرًا وَلَا شَيْئًا كَانَ أَلْيَنُ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, I never touched any silk or anything else which was as soft as the palm of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَلَا شَمَمْتُ مِسْكًا قَطْ وَلَا عِطْرًا قَطْ كَانَ أَطْيَبُ مِنْ عِرْقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And I never smelt a fragrance or a perfume or misk ever which was as fragrant as the sweat of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in another narration, he said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was from the best of the people in his manners. وَأَرْحَبُهُمْ صَدْرًا. And he was the most open and the most with the cleanest heart. وَأَوْفَرُهُمْ حِنَانًا. And the one who was most tender and most caring in friendship. فَقَدْ أَرْسَلَنِي يَوْمًا لِحَاجَةً. And one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent me for a particular task. فَخَرَجْتُ وَقَصَدْتُ الصِّبْيَانِ كَانُوا يَلْعَبُونَ فِي السُّوقِ لِأَلْعَبَ مَعَهُمْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent me on a particular task something which he needed. And instead, I went to some young children who were playing in the market. Instead of fulfilling the need of the Prophet, I went and I began playing with the children. وَلَمْ أَذْهَبْ إِلَى مَا أَمَرَنِي بِهِ. And I didn't go to the place which the Prophet ﷺ commanded me to go. He said, فَلَمَّا سِرْتُ إِلَيْهِمْ. When I reached the children and I began playing with the rest of the boys, شَعَرْتُ بِإِنسَانٍ يَقِفُ خَلْفِي. I sensed or felt a person standing beside me. وَيَأْخُذُ ثَوْبِي. And that this person was holding on to my clothes. فَالْتَفَتُّ فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And when I turned back, it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَتَبَسَّمُ. And the Prophet was smiling. And then the Prophet said to him, يَا أُنَيْس. O Unais. And Unais is a loving nickname instead of saying Anas. So the Prophet said to him, يَا أُنَيْس. أَذَهَبْتَ إِلَىٰ حَيْثُ أَمَرْتُكُ. O Unais. Did you go and do that thing which I wanted? And Anna said, Naam, Anna Dahibun al-An Ya Rasulullah. He said, yes, I'm going to go right now. And then Anna said, Walaqad khadimtuhu 10 sinin. That I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. Fama qala li shayin sana'tuhu lima sana'ta. And he never said to me regarding something which I did, why did you do? وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ تَرَكْتُهُ لِمَا تَرَكْتَ. And neither anything which I didn't do, why did you not do? And one of the distinctions of Anas radiallahu anhu is that he was very intelligent. When he was 10 years old, and his mother Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha, when she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with him, it's mentioned that Anas could already write and read. And as you know, the Arab society at that time, they didn't used to read and write. Very few people, the very learned people, would read or write. And Anas radiallahu anhu, despite only being 10 years old, he could read and write. And this shows us the intelligence of Anas radiallahu anhu, Abu Hamza, Khadimun Nabi, from a very young age. And because of this, he became a great scholar of Islam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away and he was only 20, and he lived many, many years after that, he lived for another 70 odd years or 60 odd years. He was a great scholar of hadith, a scholar of fiqh, a scholar of knowledge, a scholar of Islam. In fact, it is mentioned that he was the third person behind Abu Hurairah and Ibn Umar when it came to conveying and memorizing and teaching hadith, after Abu Hurairah and Ibn Umar. And it is said that he narrated over 2,280 hadith. 81 of those muttafaqun alayh between Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And 80 of these hadith with Bukhari alone. And 90 of those hadith with Muslim alone, independent of Al-Bukhari, rahimahumullah ajma'in. And he died in Iraq, in Al-Basra, 93 Hijri. So he lived a long time after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he isn't the last Sahabi to die, but he was from one of the very last Sahaba to die. And as for this noble hadith, then this hadith contains the great virtue and the reward of Tawheed. And also the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how he forgives sins. And that those who supplicate to Allah and they are sincere in their dua, Allah promises that he answers their supplications. And this is because Allah said in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord has said, supplicate to me, call upon me, invoke me, and I shall answer you. So this is a promise from Allah subhanahu that he answers the du'as of those people who are sincere in their supplications. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. And those people who are too pride and arrogant, or proud and arrogant over my worship, سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. They will enter into Jahannam and they will remain in it. And in this hadith, Anas said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say that Allah said. And so this is hadithun qudsi. And we said that there are two types of hadith: hadith nabawi and hadith qudsi. Hadith nabawi is that which the companion narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet said, the Prophet did, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performing or doing. As for hadith qudsi, ma rawahu sahabi anin nabi wa asnadahu ila Allah. It is what the companion narrated from the Prophet, but it is attributed to Allah. Fima yarwihi an rabbihi. Allah said, the Prophet narrated from Allah. Meaning, the meaning of the hadith is from Allah, but the wording is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as opposed to the Quran, in which the meaning and the wording is from Allah subhanahu. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrates that Allah said in meaning, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam. And subhanallah, the ulama mention a beautiful benefit just from these three words, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam. And this is that humans have been honored by Allah, just by the fact that Allah calls them and addresses them, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, Ya bani Adam, O children of Adam. Just the fact that Allah addresses them, and Allah doesn't address the other animals, this shows us that us as humans, we have been honored and preferred over most of creation. And Allah also mentioned this in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Verily, we have honored Bani Adam. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And we have carried them upon the land and the sea. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And we have sustained them with the pure things. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ. And we have preferred them and made them better. عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. More than the majority of what we have created. And the benefit from this is, the benefit from this, ayyuhul ikhwa, is that if Allah has honored us, then we should act as humans, honorable, with dignity. Subhanallah, you see some people, they eat like animals, they drink like animals, they speak and they interact like animals, their manners are just as bad, they live like animals, they view life like animals, eat, drink, sleep, and wake up the next morning. So if Allah has honored us over the animals, then we should act within our, how Allah has created, within this honor. How we eat should be honored and dignified, and how we speak and interact, and how we view this life, and that which we do, and how we treat other people. Because Allah, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Because Allah has made Bani Adam dignified and honored, and therefore we should live within this honor and this dignity. He said, يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ دَعُوتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي. He said, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ مَا دَعُوتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي. He said, O son of Adam, whenever you call upon me and you have hope in me. So notice, two things have been mentioned. Supplicating to Allah with raja, with hope. Not mere dua, but dua and raja. That you supplicate to Allah, and then you have hope that Allah answers your supplication. Meaning when a person supplicates and makes dua to Allah, it isn't just empty dua, empty words, or just customs. A person has become ritual saying, Allahumma ghfirli, just ritually he says it. This isn't the dua which is answered. The dua which is answered is, إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي. Dua with your heart, focusing, having hope in the mercy of Allah, having husn al-dhan, having a good thought about Allah, knowing that Allah will answer your dua if you are sincere and if you have hope in Him. And this is where the ulama differentiate between dua and dhikr. So the dua, it has to be made and the person feels the dua. Because when you're making dua, you're showing your need in front of Allah. You need something from Allah and therefore you make this dua to Him. So a person makes dua to Allah but doesn't show his weakness and his hope and his need and his dependence upon Allah, then he hasn't really made a dua. As for a dhikr, of course, the more a person concentrates, the more reward there is for that person. But as for dua, it has to be done with the heart focusing and needing and knowing what it is asking Allah. And if you make dua to Allah like this, with raja, showing your weakness and your poverty and your need in front of Allah, then Allah said, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Then I will forgive your sins. And I will forgive your sins regardless of what sin it is and how many the sins are. وَلَا أُبَالِي. And I do not mind. Meaning nothing is too small in front of Allah. Nothing is too small to ask in front of Allah. And nothing is too great to ask in front of Allah. Allah doesn't mind at all a person who sins, but then he's sincere in the forgiveness of Allah. And when he said, La ubali, I do not mind, this is one of the attributes of Allah. And the ulama, they call this type of attribute as-sifat al-manfiyyah. Or as-sifat as-salbiyyah. Two names. I.e. an attribute which is negating something from Allah. So the majority of the sifat of Allah, the majority of the descriptions of Allah, they affirm something. That Allah is Al-Hayy, Allah is Al-Qayyum, Allah is Al-Tawwab, Allah is Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Hakim, Al-Alim. All of these attributes are affirming for Allah perfect life, complete ability, complete knowledge, and so on and so forth. Then there are some attributes of Allah which are manfiyyah, salbiyyah, and they are negating something from Allah. So in this portion of the hadith, wala ubali, Allah negates from Himself this attribute. And there are other ayat in the Quran. For example, Allah said, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Allah negates from Himself tiredness. Allah negates from Himself sleep and slumber. Sifat manfiyyah. He said, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord does not oppress anybody. So Allah negates from Himself al-dhulm. Allah said in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Place your dependence upon the ever-living who does not die. So Allah negated from Himself death. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing who is equal or comparable to Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is nothing which is equal to Allah. So Allah negates from Himself a comparison or somebody who is equal to Him. These types of sifat, they are called as-sifat al-manfiyyah or as-sifat al-salbiyyah. And the ulama mention that whenever we negate from Allah something, then we have to affirm the opposite. So if we say, Allah, la yamut, He does not die. What does this mean? That we affirm for Allah complete and perfect and eternal life. If we say, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, that tiredness and slumber does not overtake him, then we are actually affirming the perfection of the opposite. That he is completely aware and has no weakness and no need for sleep nor any tiredness. We have to affirm the opposite. So when Allah says, وَلَا أُبَالِي, I do not mind, then we have to affirm the opposite. That we affirm the great virtue of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the great kindness of Allah, that he doesn't mind. Doesn't matter how bad a person is, and how severe the sins are, and how many the sins are, with Allah, nothing is too small to ask, and nothing is too great to give and to forgive. And then he said, يَبْنَ آدَمْ, O son of Adam, لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ, O son of Adam, if your sins were so great in number that they reached the clouds in the skies, ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي, but then you sought forgiveness from me, al-istighfar, and you were sincere, and you had hope, with ikhlas, he said, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, also this I will forgive you. But again, not mere Allahumma ghafirli, and a person isn't concentrating, rather dua with sincerity and intention and focus, hoping in the mercy of Allah subhanahu. And this is why the ulama say that when a person makes dua, he has to fulfill two things. Dua along with sincerity and hope in Allah, and also al-asbab, the means which Allah has placed upon this earth for your dua to be fulfilled. For example, is it sufficient for a person to sit at home and say, Allahumma rizqni, O Allah, give me my rizq. O Allah, give me, bestow upon me children. And a person doesn't do anything. Is this the how dua works? No, this isn't how dua works. Dua works that you ask Allah for rizq and you place your dependence upon him, and then you go out and you go search for your rizq. You ask Allah subhanahu for children, and then you go out and you fulfill the means through which children will come, i.e. marriage and nikah and so on and so forth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَوْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تُوَكُّلِهِ, if you relied upon Allah with the true form of reliance, لَرُزِقْتُمْ كَمَا يُرْزَقَ الطَّيْرِ, you would be provided for just as the bird is provided for. And then the Prophet said, this bird, it leaves early in the morning and its stomach is empty. وَيَرْجِعُ بَطَّانًا, and it comes back and the stomach is full with its food and food for its offspring as well. But notice, this bird, does it not leave the nest and does it not go out and search, and it flies to the various lands to find its rizq, and then Allah provides for it. So this is the real dua and the real tawakkul. So we said, you have to make istighfar and you have to also fulfill the means. What are the means? The means are tawbah. So, and this is why istighfar and tawbah, they always come together. And the meaning of a tawbah is ar-ruju' wal-inaba, turning to Allah, returning back to Allah. The meaning of taba, he made tawbah, a raja'a wa anaba, that he turned back to Allah and he returned to Allah. So you have to make istighfar and then you have to leave that disobedience and return back to Allah and find comfort in Allah subhanahu. And then he said, يَبْنَ آدَمْ, O son of Adam, إِنَّكَ لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا, O son of Adam, if you came to me with sins which were almost as big as the earth, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا, but then you met me, meaning you died, but without committing shirk, i.e. you died upon tawheed, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً, then I would come back at you with almost the earth full of forgiveness. And this shows us the virtue of Tawheed. And this is only for the people of Tawheed. As for those people who die upon shirk, then this fadl, it isn't for them. Because Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive for shirk to be committed, but He forgives anything which is less than this to whoever He wills. And this hadith, it remains upon its generality. Meaning, do we say that as long as a person dies upon Tawheed, he can commit any sin and do whatever he wants and Allah will forgive him? No. We have to also look at the other hadith. So a person who dies upon Tawheed, but a person who dies upon Tawheed, but with sins, maybe Allah will forgive him and maybe Allah will punish him because of his sins. So we don't say like the Christians say. The Christians, they say that if a person believes in Jesus and he believes Jesus was salvation, then his sins are forgiven. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Meaning, Jesus was sacrificed for your sins. And salvation is through Jesus. Do as much as you want, sin as much as you want, but you should know that God, na'udhu billah, sacrificed His Son Jesus for your sins. So your sins are forgiven because of this salvation. In Islam, we don't have this. And Allah said, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No person bears the burden of another person's sins. In fact, this is injustice. How can God punish another person for somebody else's sins? It doesn't make sense. And that means the Hitlers of this world and the Stalins of this world, as long as they believe in Jesus, the massacres which they did and the killing which they did, as long as they believe in Jesus, it is forgiven? No. In Islam, a person bears the burden of his sins. And there are avenues for forgiveness. But if a person dies upon shirk, then there is no forgiveness. Of course, if a person committed shirk and then made tawbah before he died, then Allah also forgives. But it is a person who dies upon kufr and dies upon shirk, there is no forgiveness for this person. Because Allah said in this hadith, the Prophet narrated that Allah says in this hadith, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا. That when you meet me, I after death, you have not committed shirk with me. Meaning, if you died upon shirk and then you met me, then there is no forgiveness. But if you committed shirk previously and kufr, then you made tawbah and then you died, then there is forgiveness. And Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, in his explanation of this hadith, he mentions a beautiful point. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَقِيْتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا. That Allah says, you meet me without committing shirk, شَيْئًا, anything. And in Arabic, this type of construct, it is known as نَكِرَةٌ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّفِي. That it is an indefinite article in the context of a negation. Meaning, the wording isn't a shay, the thing. It is shay'un, anything. And it is negative because la tushrik, you have not committed any shirk with me. Meaning, you have not committed any act of shirk, any type of shirk. And therefore, hadha yufid al-umum. This, it shows generality. Every type and any type of shirk. And this meaning, which is latif, many people, they forget. This includes major shirk and minor shirk. And this is the point that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen makes. So this reward of dying upon Tawheed and your sins being forgiven, it means that you haven't done minor shirk, no major shirk, any type of shirk. In fact, a person
whose whole focus and ambition is only money and only the dunya. And he turns away from remembering Allah and worshipping Allah, and him chasing after the dunya makes him neglectful of Allah subhanahu, then he also removes himself from the meaning of this hadith. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ta'isa abdul dinar wa ta'isa abdul dirham. That the one who is a slave to the gold and the one who is a slave to silver, ta'is, he's destroyed himself. So notice how the Prophet worded this person, abd, abida, abdun. He said the slave of the gold and the slave of silver. That it's a type of shirk. So any type of shirk, from the major to the minor, all of it is included in this hadith. And then it's important for us to know the conditions of making istighfar and tawbah. Because this hadith, it is all about making the correct type of istighfar and the correct type of tawbah, and then Allah forgives you. And the ulama mention 5 or 6 conditions for your tawbah to be accepted. The first condition is al-ikhlas, sincerity. Because tawbah is a type of worship, ibadah. And ibadah is only accepted if it is sincere in front of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah with sincerity in all their actions. And tawbah is an act of ibadah. So if a person apologized and repented and sought forgiveness to show off in front of other people, or because of his fear of the authorities, or embarrassment in front of the person he has wronged, then this istighfar and tawbah is not accepted. It has to be done ta'zeeman lillah, exalting Allah, and knowing that the right of Allah has been violated, sincerity. The second condition is an-nadam. And the meaning of an-nadam is regret. Meaning inside you, you have to have regret and sorrow in front of Allah. As if yourself is broken in front of Allah because of the sin which you have done or the obligation which you have left. The third condition is al-iqla'. And the meaning of al-iqla' is you have to stop that sin immediately. Meaning you cannot make tawbah and you're still sinning. Rather, you have to stop that sin and you have to make a tawbah. Now when we say al-iqla', what does it mean? If you have left a wajib, if your sin is leaving the wajib and you can fulfill that wajib, then you have to fulfill the wajib and make tawbah. So for example, a person didn't give zakah out of stinginess. What is his tawbah? Make istighfar to Allah and give zakah. You have to now repay that zakah. If a person missed a salah or left fasting without any excuse, what is his repentance? He makes istighfar and then he makes qada of that fast. Or he makes qada of that salah, as long as it is within the time. And of course, if it is a sin which a person is doing, then he has to stop that sin. The fourth condition is al-azm ala alla ya'ud, is having a firm determination that he will not repeat the sin again. And notice the wording, the condition isn't he will not repeat the sin. The condition is he has a determination that he will not repeat the sin. Because nobody knows whether he will sin again or not. And this is why when you're giving da'wah to the people, you shouldn't say that the condition is you're not allowed to do that sin again. Or rather, you shouldn't say the condition is you don't sin again. Rather, you say make a determination that you don't sin again. And if you fall into the sin again, then make tawbah again a second time, but have a determination that you will not fall into the sin. And if you end up sinning a third time, then renew your tawbah and have a firm, sincere determination. So the condition is you have to have the intention and the determination not to sin again, not they will not sin again. Also, the ulama mention a separate condition, which is you have to return the right of the person if you have wronged a person. So if it is a personal sin, then these conditions which we mentioned. If your sin is violating and oppressing another person, in addition to these conditions, you have to now return the right to that person. So if your sin was stealing, you have to return the property. If your sin was vandalism and damaging, you have to compensate the one who you have, whose property you have damaged. Do you have to tell that person or not? Like, for example, let's say somebody stole some wealth and now he wants to return that wealth. Does he have to say to that person, look, I stole this wealth from you? Ibn Uthaymeen said, the main thing is you return the wealth. However it can be done, you return the wealth. So you go through another person and you say, look, keep my sin anonymous and just return this wealth to him and say, look, somebody stole from you. And now he is apologizing and he returns the wealth, and this is enough. And when it comes to ghiba, backbiting, do you have to inform the person you are backbiting? Some of the ulama said, you have to inform the person. And others amongst the ulama said, you don't need to inform the person. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that the kafara for the one you have been backbiting is istighfar. As long as you make istighfar behind his back, then that is sufficient. And there is a third opinion which Ibn Uthaymeen mentions, and this is the best opinion, and that is that if the person knows you have been backbiting him and it has become known, then you should go and apologize to that person. And if the person doesn't know that you have been backbiting him, then making istighfar is sufficient in this situation. And then the last condition for making tawbah is it has to be before the point after which tawbah is not accepted. And this is two. Either before a person dies or before the soul reaches the throat, like Fir'aun did when the waves were upon him. He said, now I believe. آمنت بما آمنت به بنو إسرائيل. Now I have iman in the ilah which Banu Israel had iman in. وأنا من المسلمين. And now I am from the Muslims. And Allah replied, الآن وقد عصيت من قبل. Now that you know death has come upon you, and before this you were disobedient, now tawbah is not accepted. Iman is not accepted. And also Allah subhanahu, he mentioned in the Quran, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحْدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. That tawbah is not for those people who do sins until when death comes upon them, now they say, now we have sought forgiveness. So this is the first time. The second time is before the sun rises from the west. Because on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the sun rises from the west, there is no more tawbah. Because everybody will know that Yawm al-Qiyamah is coming. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَا تَنْقَطِعُ التَّوْبَةَ حَتَّى تَخْرُجُ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. That tawbah will not cease until the sun rises from the west. And by this we finish, by the tawfiq of Allah, explaining this blessed treatise Al-Arba'un An-Nawawiyyah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq to act upon everything which we have learnt. ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا ممن يسمع القول ويتبع أحسنه وينتفع به ويعمل به إنه سميع مجيب قريب. نسأل الله الإخلاص في القول والعمل. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا صالحا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر, لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشائخنا. And we ask Allah subhanahu to forgive our ulama and our teachers. And of course amongst them is Al-Imam An-Nawawi, who we benefited from. So we ask Allah subhanahu to place him in his forgiveness and his mercy. وَيُجْزِيهُ اللَّهُ عَنَّا وَعَنِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ خَيْرَ الْجَزَاءِ هَذَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ